Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, this is Eric Dye, and welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Dagny Zhu, a nationally acclaimed board-certified ophthalmologist and fellowship-trained specialist in cornea, cataract, and laser refractive surgery, who is the founder and owner of Envision Eye Centers in Roland Heights, California. And Dr. Zhu, thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
And certainly our pleasure to have you out with us and looking forward to hearing from you today. So for starters, if you would, tell us about your passion for medicine and why you chose specifically eye care as your specialty.
You know, all the doctors will say the same thing. We all went into medicine to help people. But I really think that the main reason we chose medicine is because we're helping people when they're most vulnerable and when they're sick. And that's a really special place to be in when you're able to help someone out of a situation like that, especially using science and technology, which is something that I've always been passionate about. And the main reason I chose ophthalmology or eye care is because it allows me to give back the quickest and most satisfying way possible. With medicine, a lot of the time you are having patients on long-term medications, you're walking them through illnesses, and it's just really hard to see them to the end of the light, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. And for surgical specialties like ophthalmology, I can fix problems so much easier with my hands, and I can see them improve overnight with just a 20-minute surgery. And I would say that the majority of people would argue that vision is their most precious sense. It's what makes them thrive in life. And so to be able to give sight back to someone with a quick surgery and to see their delight in the improvement of their vision literally overnight is really rewarding to me. And so that's the main reason I chose ophthalmology.
It certainly makes a lot of sense. And thanks for sharing your passion for eye care as your specialty. Now, how did you go about setting up your own practice? I'm sure listeners tuning in on the business side of things would like to hear about that.
So, you know what? I actually took a slightly different path. I would say it's really hard this day and age to open your own practice, especially in Los Angeles where I'm at, where the market is so saturated. And so I actually bought my practice. And what I did was I saw this opportunity and this practice in my hometown where I grew up, coincidentally, went on sale. And it's a very successful, high-volume refractive practice, great reputation in the community, and the price tag was very high. And me, being just out of fellowship and training, and we don't learn anything, you know, about practice management or practice evaluation in medical school. All we learn is the medicine. So I had really no experience in that side of the business of medicine at all. And so I actually found this opportunity and partnered with a large company, Envision Eye Centers, to purchase this practice and become an owner of this clinic and medical director. And so it was a very unique setup for me as a new grad. And I would say that it's not one that's very common today, but it is becoming more common. And there are actually quite a few advantages of buying an existing practice and partnering with a large company to do so. Because you get to hit the ground running. You have more financial backing by working with a large company. They can help with purchasing equipment, which is often very expensive when you're in sorts of LASIK or laser, you know, assisted procedures. And they allowed you to do so with bulk pricing, discount pricing. And they also help to manage a lot of the back end with HR and things like that. And that way I can just focus and concentrate on the clinical practice of medicine and providing the best care possible to my patients. So it's a little bit of an interesting setup. And I think I'm the only one of my colleagues that I know that actually went down a route like this. And in the beginning, it was pretty hard because I was basically the owner of this location. And even though I was under an umbrella of a large organization, I was pretty much on my own in terms of running this center. So I was wearing multiple hats in the beginning as CEO, CFO, HR, marketing, of the center, you know, to make sure everything runs smoothly. And one of the first things that I did was to upgrade technology in the practice, because again, this practice has been in the community for a long time, but technology advances so rapidly every single year, especially in ophthalmology and laser refractive surgery. The technology is just crazy how much it improves every year. And so I invested a lot of money initially upfront in better equipment, better lasers to provide better outcomes to my patients. And that was something that I wanted to prioritize in the beginning, even though it was quite costly, but I think the ROI makes it worth it in the long term.
Well, I got to say, that's an exciting route to go, and setting up your own practice in that way, founding and owning Envision Eye Centers, that is pretty good stuff. And there's a lot to learn from that. Now, yeah, speaking of which, a lot of entrepreneurs tune into the program. What do you believe it takes to be a successful entrepreneur if you didn't realize you are an entrepreneur yourself?
I think that it's so important for doctors who want to be practice owners to have leadership skills and the ability to manage people. I would say that is probably the hardest and most important skill to have as a practice owner. Like I mentioned, so many of us doctors were trained on the clinical aspect of medicine. We learn how to practice medicine, do surgery, but we don't learn how to manage people and how to run a practice as a leader. And we're learning now, you know, you can go to Yelp and look up all the reviews on doctors or practices in the community, and you'll see that a lot of these practices have terrible reviews. And it's not because the patients are trashing the doctor's skills. They're criticizing the way the practice is run. So they'll complain about how long they have to wait, how the receptionist was rude. So it really comes down to having a great team. And that's really up to you as a practice owner to create and cultivate. And so it becomes really important to know how to hire good people, especially during the COVID pandemic where turnover was really high. It was hard to get people to come back to work, and it's still a problem. So you really got to identify good people. And when you find them, you have to incentivize them to stay, and you have to motivate them to perform well and to want to do well and want to work at your practice. And I think that's just something that comes with time and experience, and kind of an innate ability too, as well, to be a leader and to make people want to work for you every day. It's definitely something that you can't do alone as a doctor or surgeon, no matter how good your clinical skills are. You really have to create a great team.
Fantastic points made and some great takeaways from that response as well. Today, we're joined by Dr. Dagny Zhu, a nationally acclaimed board certified ophthalmologist and fellowship trained specialist in cornea, cataract, and laser refractive surgery. He was the founder and owner of Envision Eye Centers in Roland Heights, California, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, I'd be curious from this perspective, what advice would you have given to a younger self?
I think that as doctors, and I was definitely included in this group, we tend to be very closed-minded. We tend to be on a very linear pathway. You know, the goal is to do well in your pre-med courses, apply and get into medical school, do residency, get board certified, go out to practice, find a 9-to-5 job, and just enjoy life and be done with it. But I honestly think there's just so much more potential in a lot of my colleagues and in myself when I was younger to do more than that. And I wish I had discovered that earlier in my career, earlier in my training, because I was very shy growing up. I was an only child, raised by a single mom, you know, immigrant family, so grew up with very little. My mom and I, you know, she was working, you know, waitressing jobs pretty much 7 days a week, you know, working nights, and I was at home by myself, home alone at a very young age, just studying, you know, trying to do well in school because that was my ticket out. And so my whole path, my whole goal at the time was to do well in school, get a stable job, become a doctor with a fulfilling career, and let that be the end goal, right? But now I'm seeing, you know, there's an opportunity as a leader in the field of ophthalmology to advance our field and to participate in industry, you know, to collaborate on creating and building new innovations. As I mentioned, technology advances so quickly in ophthalmology, and now I'm getting the opportunity, because I'm a practice owner and I see so many patients do so much surgery, I have these opportunities as a key opinion leader with so many innovative companies in the space, and to speak for them, consult for them, and work with them on developing and improving technologies. And that's something that I never thought that I'd be able to do as a physician when I was younger. And I'm hoping to work with more of these companies and startups and innovate on new devices or new technologies to make surgery better and more efficient. And I'm hoping to also participate in more clinical research studies to advance some of these FDA trials, and also look at the outcomes of some of these exciting new technologies that we have to further advance the field. And that's something that I wish I had explored even earlier on as a student. You know, I wish I had broadened my network, you know, reached out to more people, found more mentors when I was younger. But I am doing that a lot more now, and that's one of the reasons that I have the opportunities that I do now. But I do think that I wish I weren't as shy when I was younger. I came out of my shell a little bit earlier because I had access, you know, when I was in medical school, I went to Harvard in Boston. I had access to like top scientists and physicians in the world. And I just wish that I had utilized that network a little bit more.
Yeah, Dr. Zhu, thanks for sharing that and a lot of good information around that topic as well. Now, if you would, share with us how your treatment as a doctor, how it may have changed during COVID-19. I'd like to hear some information on that.
That's a great question. It definitely shook up the field of medicine. And ophthalmology in particular, I think we were the hardest hit of all specialties. Our Medicare reimbursements went down, you know, over 35%. And I think we were the most impacted of all the specialties in medicine. I will say that I was a little bit sheltered from that, luckily, because I am in more of a refractive space, meaning I perform quite a bit of laser vision correction surgery, which is often elective and not reimbursed by insurance anyway. So a lot of these patients pay out of pocket for these elective procedures. And as a result of that, we were very lucky that we did go down. We actually had a boom similar to what they saw in plastic surgery. Patients had time off. They had some disposable income from not traveling, and they were sick of wearing their glasses with masks and having them fog up. So we actually had a great interest in laser vision correction shortly after initial pandemic and closures. But during that time when COVID first hit and we were all, you know, so scared of what was going to happen to our practices, my practice was closed down for 1 month, where we basically did no surgery and generated no revenue, and the expenses continued to pile up. You know, we were still paying rent and all the other, you know, fees for maintaining very expensive equipment. And so it was a very scary time at that moment. And when we opened up, you know, I was pregnant at the time. And so I went back to surgery pretty much 5 weeks after my maternity leave because we had a very long list of patients waiting for surgery and cataract surgery, and they were not functioning. You know, they were not able to see to do their, you know, live their daily life. And so I had a huge backlog of surgeries, and 5 weeks out of maternity leave, I was doing, you know, more surgery than I had ever done in the history of our practice. But, you know, it had to be done because patients were waiting. You know, vision, again, like I mentioned, is a very important sense, and you can't function. A lot of these patients couldn't go to work, couldn't, you know, even do their daily activities without getting the surgery done. And so that was a difficult time because we were balancing a large surgical load while also adhering to, you know, safety precautions. So we would try our best to stagger our schedule so that we would minimize, you know, crowding of the waiting areas. We would space out chairs. We would do temperature screenings, you know, detailed COVID screenings and questionnaires. And whenever we could, we would schedule remote visits, you know, through the internet or the phone. It's really hard for ophthalmology, which is such a visual field, to conduct a lot of our visits remotely because I'm diagnosing most of the time by looking, you know, at the eyes using very special magnified equipment. And it's hard to do that over the phone. It's hard to assess vision and the health of their eye remotely. But it was something that we incorporated, and I see it continuing in all aspects of medicine, that aspect of, you know, remote medicine, telemedicine. It really has grown because of COVID.
I bet so. And COVID has really changed the world as we know it. And you have really been patient and hanging in there. And it's impressive what you were able to pull off and accomplish through these difficult times. And congratulations on the success there. Lastly, do you have any advice for anyone looking to start their own practice? Anything that you could share there?
I would say really make sure that that's what you want to do. You've got to have the personality for it. You got to make sure you dedicate time and energy upfront and you enjoy these areas outside of clinical medicine. Don't do it just because everyone else is wanting to do it. I feel like doctors today, a lot of them being millennials, you know, we're all trying to find an out from clinical medicine because clinical medicine can be very draining. And I love seeing all the doctors now on social media, you know, with their side hustles, you know, whether that's real estate or, you know, starting whatever other businesses that they're passionate about. I think that's a great route to go. You don't necessarily have to start your own practice to become an entrepreneur today in medicine. But if that is your passion and that is something that you want to do because of the increased autonomy and you want to build your own brand and reputation in the community as an excellent surgeon or physician, like, definitely go for it. And I think the first step is to making sure that that is what you want to do and you want to see what makes the most sense in the area that you want to be, whether that's starting your own practice versus buying an existing practice. And that's all going to depend on how saturated the market is already. And I advise you to figure out exactly what your value point is and how you're going to separate yourself from the rest of the doctors in that community. I would say that's the most important thing. And once you're ready to go, hire experts who can help you because you're not going to know everything from the get-go. You're the expert on taking care of patients. You really want to get those expert accountants, lawyers, consultants who can help you set up in the beginning. And then it'll all just come with experience and time.
Once again, Dr. Zhu, some splendid advice and some great information shared here today. Can't thank you enough for your time spent with us. If listeners wanted to check out your practice or to be in touch in some way, where's the best place to get further information?
Yeah, so I'm actually very active on social media. I have over 50,000 followers. So you can find me on Instagram at DZIND. That's DZEYEND. And I'm also on Twitter, Facebook under the same handle. And my website is also www.DZEYEND.com.
And that certainly works. And we'll leave this link within the show notes of this broadcast as well. Dr. Zhu, all the best. And thanks so much for joining us here today on EPN.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Anytime. We've been speaking with Dr. Dagny Zhu, a nationally acclaimed board-certified ophthalmologist and fellowship-trained specialist in cornea, cataract, and laser refractive surgery, who is the founder and owner of Envision Eye Centers in Roland Heights, California. And for all the details, simply visit DZIMD.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.